The World This Week. Politics.
Donald Trump held a two-hour telephone conversation with Vladimir Putin to discuss the war in Ukraine. Mr. Putin rejected Mr. Trump's call for a ceasefire, but said he would refrain from attacking Ukrainian energy infrastructure for 30 days. Soon after making that promise, Russia launched a big attack on civilian infrastructure, including hospitals in Ukraine. Ukraine attacked Russian infrastructure. Mr. Trump also spoke to Volodymyr Zelensky, offering to help source Patriot missiles from Europe and suggesting that America could run Ukrainian nuclear plants to protect them from Russian aggression. Mr. Trump called for the impeachment of a judge who had ordered the suspension of a program for deporting alleged Venezuelan gang members. The White House was accused of flouting the order by going ahead and deporting the Venezuelans to a prison in El Salvador. Mr. Trump's press secretary denied this, saying the plane was already in the air. John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, waded in and said that calls to impeach judges were an inappropriate response to a judicial disagreement. Daniel Noboa, the president of Ecuador, said that Mr. Trump should designate Ecuadorian criminal gangs as terrorists, similar to the designations that the Trump administration has given to gangs in Mexico and Venezuela. Mr. Noboa also invited America, Brazil and Europe to send soldiers to join his crackdown on gangs. Most of the world's cocaine passes through Ecuador. The American Senate voted for a Republican spending measure that averted a government shutdown at the last minute. Chuck Schumer, the Democrats' leader in the chamber, incurred the wrath of his party by voting for the measure, having said he would oppose it. Mr. Schumer's explanation that a shutdown would only empower Mr. Trump did little to soothe the progressives in his party, who now consider themselves to be the resistance. Colombia's finance minister quit after just 3 months in the job, amid a quarrel with the country's first left-wing president, Gustavo Petro, over budget cuts. Mr. Petro has recently replaced 12 of his 19 ministers. Israel launched a series of airstrikes on Gaza, breaking the ceasefire it signed with Hamas in January. Israel said it was targeting Hamas's surviving commanders, but over 400 people, including many civilians, were killed, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. Israel also began a new ground offensive and sent troops back into the Netzarim corridor, which splits Gaza down the middle. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, said this was just the beginning and accused Hamas of rejecting proposals to free more hostages. He vowed that all future ceasefire negotiations would be conducted only under fire. Mr. Netanyahu also tried to sack Ronen Bar, the head of the Shin Bet, Israel's domestic security service. The Shin Bet has been carrying out investigations against some of the prime minister's closest aides. The Attorney General, whom Mr. Netanyahu is also trying to sack, said the process must be put on hold because of conflicts of interest. Opposition politicians want to take the issue to the Supreme Court. American warplanes targeted the Houthis, a rebel group in Yemen that has attacked Israel and ships in the Red Sea. The Houthis are supported by Iran. The Pentagon said its strikes would be unrelenting until the rebels stopped their attacks. Nigeria's president, Bola Tinubu, declared a state of emergency in Rivers, an oil-rich state in the Niger Delta. He also suspended the state's governor and all lawmakers, claiming the governor, who belongs to an opposition party, had not responded adequately to a pipeline explosion. The presidents of Congo and Rwanda called for an immediate ceasefire in the conflict in eastern Congo, following a meeting in Qatar. It was the first time Felix Tshisekedi of Congo had met Paul Kagame of Rwanda since M23, a militia supported by Rwanda, accelerated its advance in the region earlier this year. MPs in Germany's Bundestag voted to exempt most defence spending from legal restrictions on government debt and to create a €500 billion, that's $545 billion, infrastructure fund. The vote marks a big shift away from the constraints on government spending under the constitutional debt brake and will strengthen Germany's armed forces, potentially reshaping European security policy. The upper house of parliament must also approve the change. Turkish authorities stepped up their crackdown on the opposition and arrested Ekrem İmamoğlu, the mayor of Istanbul, over a range of allegations. Mr. İmamoğlu is likely to be named as the main opposition candidate to challenge Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Turkey's strongman president, in an election due in 2028, but which may be called earlier. After Mr. İmamoğlu's detention, demonstrations were banned in Istanbul for 4 days. Observers estimated that around 325,000 people took to the streets of Belgrade, Serbia's capital, to protest against government corruption and incompetence. It was the largest demonstration so far in a series of protests sparked by the collapse of a railway station roof last November, which killed 15 people. The protesters' ire is directed towards the president, Aleksandar Vučić. The prime minister, Milos Vučević, an ally of Mr. Vučić, formally resigned this week. America imposed visa restrictions on officials in Thailand who were involved in the recent forced deportation of 40 Uyghur Muslims to China's Xinjiang province, where Uyghurs face widespread repression. Marco Rubio, America's Secretary of State, and a fierce China hawk, has criticized the deportations. Donald Trump ordered funding to be cut for the agency that supports radio stations such as Voice of America and Radio Free Asia, which have upheld the promotion of democracy and reported extensively on human rights abuses. The White House said they were outlets for radical propaganda. China was delighted. Separately, a French politician suggested that America should return the Statue of Liberty, a gift from France. Absolutely not, retorted Caroline Levitt, the White House press secretary. It is only because of America that the French are not speaking German right now. Correction. Last week we said that Turkey backs the Syrian Democratic Forces. The SDF is backed by the United States. Sorry.